Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
This, okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
May I continue, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Taking a look at that first page, do you recognize a location that's pinpointed on that page?
I do.
Okay, without telling me the address, what do you recognize that as being?
My house.
Okay, and do you see in the call-out box in the middle of the page?
Yes.
Do you see a date and time?
Yes.
What is the date and time?
It is January 30th at 12:13.
Take a look at page 2 on what's been marked for identification.
Okay.
Do you see a location pinpointed on that page?
I do, yes.
What do you recognize that location as being?
John O'Keefe's home.
Is that what we've talked about on Meadows?
Yes, Meadows.
Do you see a time and date for that location?
Yes, 1/30/2022. At 12:19.
At 12:19 p.m.?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. If you could turn to page, 4, skip over page 3 and just go straight to page 4.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recognize something that's been pinpointed on that map as well?
Yes.
What is that? Again, don't give me the full address. What is that location that's pinpointed?
That is my house.
Okay. And do you see a date and time for that location?
Yes, that's 1:30 at 5:21.
When you say 1:30, January 30th?
Sorry, January 30th, 2022 at 5:21.
Okay. Looking at page 5, do you see a location pinpointed on that map as well?
Yes, I do.
And what's the date and time of that location?
That is also 1:30, 2022. And that is at 5:28.
Got it. Taking a look at page 6, do you see a location pinpointed on that map?
Yes.
What is that, again, what is that location?
That is 1/30/2022.
The location, the address?
Oh, I'm sorry. That is Fairview.
Appear to be 34 Fairview?
Yes.
And what's the date and time?
5:36.
Taking a look at page 7, Do you see anything located on that, a pinpoint location on that page?
Yes.
What's the date? I'm sorry, what is that location?
That's Fairview again.
And what's the date and time?
That is 1:30:22 at 5:40.
So just to be clear, the page before was 5:36, and this page is 5:40.
Yes.
Okay, take a look at page 8. Do you see what's pinpointed on that page?
Yes.
What is that location without giving me the address?
I believe that's Mike Lank's home.
What's the date and time?
1:30:2022.
January 30th, 2022. And
yes.
The time, please?
5:43.
You're familiar with Canton, obviously?
Yes.
Much more than we are.
Yes.
Driving time from 34 Fairview to Mike Lank's house consistent with about 3 or 4 minutes?
It could be with, like, they have multiple stop signs.
Okay.
And due to the weather.
Right. Taking a look at page 9.
Yes.
Do you see another pinpointed address?
Yes, I believe it's the same one.
Okay. The same address on
as Oakdale? Mike Lank. Is Mike Lank.
Okay. And what's the time? What's the date of that?
1:30:2022, and that is 6:28.
And 6:28 is about 45 minutes after 5:43, give or take, correct?
Yeah.
Finally, the last page, page 10. Do you see yet another pinpointed address?
I do, yes.
Is that your address?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And what's the date and time of that pinpoint?
That is 1:30:22 as well, and that is at 6:34.
And would it be safe to say that your address from Mike Lank's address, maybe 6 or 7 minute drive?
Yeah, depending. Mm-hmm.
We were talking about what happened when you were at Mike Lank's that evening. By the way, does any of that refresh your recollection about the time that you went to Mike Lank's house?
Yes, I knew it was after Meadows and later in the day, yes.
So closer to 5:45, 6:30, correct?
Yes.
This is in January in Boston, is that right? The greater Boston area?
Yes.
Gets dark really early?
Yes.
It was a blizzard?
The night before, yes.
Safe to say that it was dark out?
Yeah, I assume.
Safe to say it was cold out?
Yes.
The blizzard was still brewing, correct?
I think it had stopped snowing by then.
Still freezing cold?
Believe so.
And your testimony is that you sat outside in a car with Carrie Roberts and Michael Lank's wife for 45 minutes?
Yes.
You actually, I'm assuming the car was running?
Yes.
Heat had to be on full blast?
Yes.
You're dressed in winter gear?
Yes.
Because it's freezing out, correct?
Correct.
You actually got out of the car and went into the house to go to the restroom at one point?
I have a faint memory, I think I did, yes.
And the three of you didn't just decide, let's just go in the house?
No, we didn't.
You actually came out of the restroom, came out of the nice warm house, and fought the cold and got back in the car, according to you, correct?
Yes, I went back in the car because Carrie was going to bring me home.
You stated on direct examination that, and you stated again today, that you stopped by Michael Lank's house, Sergeant Lank's house, directly from the O'Keefe residence as sort of a, my word, not yours, sort of a pit stop to drop off Carrie Roberts' daughter, correct?
Correct.
In point of fact, you actually drove from your personal residence to Michael Lank's house as a destination, didn't you?
I don't remember that. This is what this piece of paper says. I remember just leaving Meadows and dropping off Lexi.
In point of fact, it wasn't an errand. It wasn't to drop anybody off. It was a destination that you went to from your house to Sergeant Lang's house on January 30th, 2022, wasn't it?
No, we went to drop off Lexi.
Was Lexi at your house?
She was with us at Meadows, and then we went to drop her off.
Right. She was never with you at your house, was she?
I don't remember going to my house.
So if she wasn't with you at your house, there would be no reason to drop the child off from your house to Michael Lang's house, correct?
Lexi was in the car with us, and we dropped her off at Michael Lang's. That's why we went to Officer Lang's house, yes.
And in point of fact, we actually went from your house and did make a pit stop to 3430 before you went to Michael Lang's house, did you?
We drove by and stopped, yes. Slowly stopped, yes.
You went in the house and spoke with someone?
No, I never went in the house.
Why'd you go by and just stop?
I think Carrie and I just went by to, like, take a look at it. We were still trying to figure everything out.
Stayed there for 4 to 6 minutes?
I have to look at the report. But, yeah, we were sitting in the car kind of just like, oh, my God, looking.
Didn't go in the house.
We didn't go in the house, no.
Nobody came outside to talk to you.
No.
You didn't speak to Nicole.
I don't believe so.
Possible.
Like I said, Carrie and I just kind of drove by and were looking at the area.
And that's before you went to Michael Lang's house, correct?
That was on the way to Michael Lang's.
So in point of fact, you didn't go directly from One Meadows to Michael Lang's house.
I thought I had. I truly thought I had.
And now your memory is refreshed.
My memory is not. This isn't refreshing my memory. I do not remember going by my house before Michael Lang's.
Do you remember testifying a year ago that, well, let me ask it this way. Do you remember denying a year ago that you ever even stopped by 34 Fairview?
I don't remember that now.
Would it refresh your recollection to take a look at your prior testimony?
Sure.
Take a look at that page, the top highlighted. Mm-hmm. May I?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. On May 21st of last year, you were asked about this very thing in a prior proceeding, correct?
Correct.
And at that time, you denied altogether ever going by 34 Fairview, correct?
No, I believe the paper says I never stopped by, but we drove by.
And now you're saying that you did stop.
Stopping by and driving by meant something different to me. Stopping by, I look at as like, then you pop in the house. Driving by is you just drive by. So we just drove by slowly and kind of looked at the scene.
And Ms. McCabe, I think you just said that you maybe even spoke with Nicole.
I didn't speak with Nicole, no. We were in the car, Carrie and I and Lexi.
You were denying that you ever spoke with Nicole or any other member of the Albert family or anybody at 34 Fairview as you sit here today?
As I sit here today, I'm telling you that we slowly drove by.
So again, last question on this point. You did not, you now admit, drive from One Meadows over to Michael Lang's house directly to drop off Carrie's daughter.
My memory is we did drive from One Meadows. I know what this piece of paper says. I'm telling you that just my memory is we left Meadows and went down Fairview and then went to Michael Lang's. But this paper is saying we stopped at my house first. I don't remember that. But again, I was in shock.
Sorry.
So a lot of things from that day are foggy. Certain things, certain details I may have forgotten.
And all of your testimony over the last several days is based on that memory that you just described to these jurors, correct?
There are certain things I'll never forget, correct?
I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. You may, depending upon your answer, you may, I'm sorry, depending upon what you just answered, you may or may not remember. But let's see.
Okay.
Isn't it true that at 12:13 p.m. you left 12 Country Lane on January 30th, 2022?
Yes, according to this, yes.
Isn't it true that at 12:19 you arrived at One Meadows, the O'Keefe residence?
According to this, yes.
Are you asking her regarding this?
I'm asking her memory, not according to the document.
Your memory. I don't remember exact times.
Thank you. Isn't it true, Ms. McCabe, that at 5:12 p.m. you left One Meadows, which is the O'Keefe residence, 5:12 in the evening?
That I don't remember the times that I left.
Isn't it true that at 5:21 you arrived back at your address on Country Lane?
I do not remember that.
Isn't it true that at 5:28, 7 minutes later, you actually left your address on Country Lane?
Again, I don't remember going by my house.
Isn't it true that at 5:36, you arrived at 34 Fairview and stayed for at least 4 minutes?
I know we drove by.
Isn't it true that at 5:40, or there, just thereafter, you left 34 Fairview?
I know we left and went to Mike Lang's.
And isn't it true at 5:43 you arrived on that Oakdale Road address at Sergeant Lang's house?
Not sure of the exact time, but yes, we did go to Sergeant Lang's house.
And isn't it true that at 6:28, almost 45 minutes later, actually a little better than 45 minutes later, you left that address at Michael Lang's house and drove back to your house directly?
After leaving Mike Lang's, I went home, correct.
And you arrived at your house at 6:34, correct?
According to the paper.
What about according to your memory?
I don't remember exact times.
Mr. Jackson, is this a good place to take a break?
It is.
Do
I'm
you
about
have
to
a
shift
while
gears.
More?
Okay.
Yes. All right, jurors, we will take our morning recess. 15-20 minutes, we'll see you back. And this break. Will be again if you just follow.
Break this way, jurors. Session, please be seated.
So, jurors, that break was longer than I told you it would be. We were waiting for some records to be printed,
so it took a while, but we appreciate your patience.
All right, Mr. Jackson, go right ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ms. McCabe, I want to shift gears to some phone calls that you had with Trooper Michael Proctor back in January of 2022, moving forward to February and March.
Okay.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
Can you tell me, Ms. McCabe, if you recognize those documents that I just handed you?
Yes, this first one looks like a Verizon record of my phone.
Okay, and what about the second document?
Phone bill. And yes, more records from my phone.
Okay. I want to ask you a couple of questions. Before I do, I'd like to have both of those documents respectively marked just for identification. I don't anticipate entering.
Exhibits M and N for identification.
Thank you.
May I continue? Thank you. Ms. McCabe, you had a number of phone calls with Michael Proctor on January 29th, moving into January 30th and on to 31st, correct?
Are you asking her to read the records or?
No, not yet. I will in just a second.
All right, so turn the records over, see if you can answer the questions.
Okay. Without looking. Okay.
You had a number of phone calls with Michael Proctor in the days and hours following the incident, correct?
Yes, I know I had some phone calls, yes.
I'm assuming you don't remember exactly the time and duration of those phone calls as you sit here?
Correct.
Would it refresh your recollection to look at your phone records that you supplied for this time period?
Sure.
There's two different documents, Ms. McCabe. One of them starts with January 29th. Can you grab that document, please?
Sure. Okay.
You should see some highlights on that document.
I do.
Did you receive a phone call from Michael Proctor at about 10:54 a.m. on January 29th, a couple of minutes in length?
I object to the form.
Okay. So you asked her if this would refresh her recollection. You need to ask her if this refreshes her recollection.
Sure. Do you remember, as you sit here, a phone call at 10:54 a.m.?
I remember getting a call. I don't remember the exact time.
Would it refresh your recollection to look at the document that you're holding as to the time of that phone call? Time and date?
I see what the document says, but in my head, if you ask me what time did he call you, I don't remember.
Do you have any quarrel with the accuracy of that document?
No, it looks pretty accurate.
Okay.
It looks right. It looks possible, yeah.
All right. Did you receive, as you sit here, do you recall, does that refresh your recollection that you received a phone call from Michael Proctor about 10:54 in the morning?
Does that refresh your memory now?
I know I did receive a phone call from him, yes.
At that time?
I don't know the exact time.
All right, so the answer is no.
Was it mid-morning?
Yes.
Did you receive another phone call on the 29th, around...
Without looking, so this is again you're being asked questions.
I'm going to go through this with each one of these calls. There's not that many, but a few.
Okay.
Okay. On the 29th, did you receive a phone call at around 12:49?
I know I received a phone call. I, again, don't remember the time.
Would it refresh your recollection to look at that document at the next line down or the next phone call from with that number?
Yes, I see that there's a call on this record.
Okay. Is your recollection refreshed that you did receive another phone call on the 29th from Michael Proctor?
Is your recollection reflect, do you now remember independently that?
I don't remember the specific times, no, but I do remember that he did call me, yes.
Okay, so there's two phone calls.
Make it easy.
Excuse me?
I only object in form, I don't object to the record.
All right. Sure.
So I guess the record is fine, but if you're asking it whether she remembers, you're not going to get anywhere, Mr. Jackson.
Well, then
so
I'll just...
I'm being told that there's no objection
fine.
To the record, just the question where you're incorporating several things from the record.
Fine, then that'll speed things along. I appreciate that.
Is that the nature of the objection, Mr. Brennan?
Yes, I have no objection to the data coming in.
Okay. Thank you. I'm just going to speed things along, and I appreciate Mr. Brennan's... assistance with that. January 29th, you see the record indicates a phone call from Michael Proctor, 10:54 a.m.
Yes.
You also see on that same record a phone call on January 29th coming in from Michael Proctor at 12:49 p.m., correct?
Yes.
Moving on down to January 30th, you see a record of a call at 9:51 a.m. from you to Michael Proctor, correct?
Yes.
January 30th, about a minute later, you see a phone call from you to Michael Proctor lasting about 22 minutes, correct?
Yes.
January 30th at approximately 4:45 p.m., you see a call from Michael Proctor to you, call lasting about 10 minutes.
Correct.
Going on to the next day, January 31st, you see a phone call from you to Michael Proctor at 11:51 a.m., just before noon, lasting about 4 minutes, correct?
Yes.
Take a look at the second document, if you will. That covers that document, that time frame.
Okay.
The second document, you should see some highlights, and I'm going to ask you to start where there's a tab at February 14, 2022.
Okay. Is am I looking at the second one or the?
May I approach you, Ron?
Yes. Wait,
this one? Yes.
Let me see the other document.
This one has the February 14th.
There you go. Thank you, Ms. McCabe. Taking a look at that document, and by the way, for the record, which one is that, M or N?
This is M.
M as in Mary?
Mary, yes.
Thank you. Do you see a record of a phone call on February 14th at about 3:55 p.m., lasting about 17 minutes between you and Michael Proctor?
Yes.
February 17th. At about 5:19 p.m., is there a record of a call between you and Michael Proctor at that time?
Yes.
February 28th, at about 12:48 p.m., is there a record of a call between you and Michael Proctor?
Yes.
On the same date, February 28th, do you see a call at 4:34 p.m. with you and Michael Proctor?
Yes.
March 1st, at 10:16 a.m., do you see a call between, a record of a call between you and Michael Proctor lasting 10 minutes?
Yes.
March 1st, you should see two calls, one at 4:51 p.m. and one at 5:06 p.m. Do you see those two calls between you and Michael Proctor?
Yes. One was 1 minute and the other was two.
Thank you. And on, staying on that same date, at 5:50 p.m., do you see a call on March 1st between you and Michael Proctor lasting about 12 minutes?
Yes.
And then finally on March 29th, 2022, do you see a call at about 3:27 p.m. lasting about 4 minutes?
I'm sorry, what was the date?
March 29th.
Oh, okay, yes.
Okay, and that's about a 4 minute call at 3:27 in the afternoon?
Yes.
Okay, and you had in fact, and that's all I have on those records. Thank you okay. for that, Ms. McCabe. You had, in fact, met Michael Proctor in person on January 29th, correct?
Yes.
He was actually in your home and personally interviewed you, correct?
Yes.
Not only did you have him in your home, it was for the purpose of a formal interview between the two of you in person. Is that right?
Yes.
That was the time that Brian Albert was there?
Yes.
In your home as well?
Yes.
And you had at least, I think we went through about 14 phone calls with Michael Proctor in just the next days and weeks, going all the way up through February and March. We've just gone over those, correct?
Yes, there are calls, but you're right about the number of calls, but some of them, I don't even know if they were answered.
And of course, that doesn't, and that may be true, but you were communicating back and forth, certainly.
Yes.
In the weeks and months following.
Yes.
And that doesn't include, those records, just for brevity's sake, those records stop in March. But there were more communications in April, May, June, July, August, correct?
I'm not sure about that. I don't know. I think initially we communicated, but I'm not sure how long it went.
So,
and then I know we started communicating again in the summer of 23, I believe, or April of 23.
So you had spoken with Michael Proctor on the phone many times. We've just gone over those records, correct?
Yes.
You met him in person on the 29th.
Yes, correct. When he came to interview me at my house, correct?
You just took the words out of my mouth. That was for a formal interview with you, correct?
Yes.
And it was in your house that you met him for that formal interview?
Yes.
And that was probably for some time. It wasn't a two-minute conversation.
No.
Then in September or October of 2023, you were interviewed by Lieutenant Tully, correct?
I have been interviewed by Lieutenant Tully. I don't recall the date.
And you indicated just now that you began picking up conversations with Michael Proctor again in the summer of 2023, correct?
Yes.
So there were many more communications at that time just before the September-October timeframe of 2023.
Yes, but that was in regards to something different than this case.
Not the subject matter, but you had met him and talked to him more times in the summer of 2023, correct?
I never met with him. I just spoke with him.
Okay. In that interview with Trooper Tully, you were specifically asked about your relationship with Michael Proctor when Trooper Tully sat down with you in that, I think it was a September or maybe it was an October interview, correct?
I don't remember the specifics of the interview.
He asked you specifically whether or not you had met Michael Proctor, whether or not you had any sort of relationship with Michael Proctor. Is that right?
I'm not sure the specifics of the interview.
Isn't it true that you told Lieutenant Tully that you had, quote, never met Trooper Proctor prior to September of 2023?
No, because Michael Proctor was in my house in January of 2022.
Exactly. The... the interview with Trooper Tully, if I may have just a moment, Your Honor.
Okay.
The interview with Trooper Tully in that fall of 2023, where did that take place?
I don't recall.
Do you recall telling Trooper Tully that you had never met Elizabeth Proctor or Michael Proctor prior to September 2023?
No.
Would it refresh your recollection if you saw a copy of Lieutenant Tully's report?
I don't need to see the report because I know I told him that I met him on January 29th when he came to my house.
So again, Trooper Tully wrote, you never met Trooper Proctor before September 2023. That would be an error by him, correct?
You have to ask for an instruction.
So again, that is sustained. Ladies and gentlemen, I instructed you on previous questions regarding the same type of thing, whether another witness is lying or not. Disregard the question and move on, Mr. Jackson.
If you had told Trooper Proctor, Trooper Tully, Lieutenant Tully, that you had never met Trooper Proctor before September of 2023, would that have been a truthful or an untruthful statement?
I object. I'd like to be seen.
Okay. Come to sidebar, please. Next question.
May I? Did you tell Trooper Tully, quote, you had never met Elizabeth Proctor or Michael Proctor prior to September 2023, end quote?
I had never met Elizabeth Proctor prior.
Okay. Well, there was a question. Did you tell Trooper Tully, Lieutenant Tully, that quote?
If I can break that quote up because it's two thick parts.
No, you can't.
So this has been asked and answered. Move on, Mr. Jackson.
Do you deny, as you sit here, telling Lieutenant Tully that quote that I just read? Do you deny it?
Sustained. Move along. The question's been answered.
Let's talk for a second about your phone calls to John O'Keefe on January 29th, 2022. I'd like to go through those calls with you briefly, if I could. Your Honor, this has previously been marked Exhibit 26.
Okay.
Mr. Brennan has a copy, if I may.
Yes.
Thank you. Do you want this one? Thanks.
You've indicated on direct examination and earlier on cross-examination that you had multiple phone calls to Mr. O'Keefe in the early morning hours of January 29th, 2022, correct?
Correct.
Those phone calls ranged from about 12:14 a.m. until about 12:50 a.m., correct?
There was a call at 12:14 and then at 12:18.
I'm sorry, I'm bracketing it. The calls
I apologize.
That's okay. 12:14 all the way to about 12:50, correct?
Are you saying 15?
50, 5-0.
Oh, 50. Oh, sorry. I apologize. Yes.
You called John O'Keefe at 12:14 and 31 seconds, lasting about 49 seconds, and that call was answered, correct?
Yes.
And you see that reflected in Exhibit 26, is that right?
Yes.
going in reverse chronological order on this exhibit. You also see a call at 12:18 and 47 seconds, wherein you call, I'm sorry, John O'Keefe calls your phone lasting about 36 seconds. Is that right?
Yes.
You know that that call was answered, even though it says, it says unknown in the document, correct?
It does say unknown, yes.
That 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth column over? That's where it says unknown?
Yes.
But it also indicates that that call lasted 36 seconds, so you know it was answered.
I don't know from this record it was answered, but I know from my memory that I spoke to him a second time. Yes.
You also made a call, moving out to the page before this, starting at the bottom of the page, at 12:29 and 44 seconds, there was a call from you to John O'Keefe's phone lasting 7 seconds, correct?
That's what it says.
And the record indicates that it was an answered phone call, correct?
According to the record, it was answered, but I never spoke to him.
You deny speaking to John O'Keefe at 12:29 and 44 seconds?
Yes, I never spoke to him after 12:18.
Okay. Moving up, 12:41 and 10 seconds. There was a call from you to John O'Keefe's phone indicating that that was missed. You see where it says missed?
I do.
12:41 and 59 seconds. There was another call from your phone to John's phone, and that was also indicated as missed. Correct?
Correct.
12:43, 19 seconds. You called John O'Keefe. That was a missed call.
Correct.
12:46 and 16 seconds. You called John O'Keefe's phone, and that was a missed call.
Correct.
12:47 and 52 seconds. You called John O'Keefe's phone, and that was a missed call.
I'm sorry, which one was that?
12:47 and 52 seconds.
Yes.
At 12:50 and 37 seconds, you called John O'Keefe's phone, and that was a missed call as well.
Yes.
Ms. McCabe, there's 7 calls. That you indicate you made to John O'Keefe's phone and that were missed. Is that right?
According to this record, yes, they were calls.
That comports with your memory, correct? You indicated that you had called him multiple times that morning and there were missed calls, right?
I called him, but I also think that some of the calls I might have done inadvertently.
Well, we're going to get to that in a second. My question is, that comports with your memory that there were several calls. According to the records, there were several calls made to John O'Keefe's phone, including 2 calls that you say you spoke to him, 12:14 and 12:18.
I spoke to him at 12:14 and 12:18, yes.
But you indicate every single call after that was missed, and you deny making those calls.
I'm not denying it, I just don't remember.
You've previously given explanation for what those calls were, these 7 calls that were missed between about 12:29 and about 12:50. That's 19 minutes. You'll agree, correct?
Yes.
If you divide 19 by 7, that's about every 2.5 minutes or 2.7 minutes, your phone is calling John O'Keefe's phone, correct?
Correct.
You've previously explained what you attribute to those phone calls. Is that right?
Yes.
What's your explanation?
I think I was going back and forth to the door. I was texting him. I think I put my phone in my pocket. I think I inadvertently maybe have called him.
What did you call it at the last hearing?
I believe I called it a butt dial.
And it's not just one butt dial, correct?
There could be multiple, yes.
7 butt dials in the course of 19 minutes, less than 20 minutes, correct?
That evening, I wasn't paying attention to butt dials or calls. I was going back and forth, listening to music, being with family. So if I inadvertently called his phone, I did.
Not inadvertently called him once. 7 times, correct? According to you.
According to the record.
And we only know about these calls because you're looking at an extraction of John O'Keefe's phone, correct?
Correct, but I also turned over my phone, so you could have gotten all of that off of my phone as well.
And you're well aware that an extraction was done on your phone and not one of those butt dials appears on your phone extraction, correct?
Objection.
Are you aware of that?
I am not aware of that.
Next question.
Weren't you confronted with that at the last hearing a year ago, whether or not those phone calls actually exist on your phone logs?
Objection.
Do you remember that?
I remember you asking previously, yes.
When you dial somebody by mistake, it requires several steps, doesn't it?
I'm not sure. A lot of times I just put my phone down and the next thing I know, I think it's very common to do butt dials.
So you have an iPhone, is that right? Or had an iPhone?
I do, yes.
And that iPhone required a biometric or a passcode to get into the open phone. Mine's not open right now, right?
It's not open, correct.
And it requires, your phone required some sort of biometric interaction with the phone, otherwise known as Face ID, or you put in a code, correct?
Yes, or I could have been texting, and then after I texted, the phone was open, and I could have accidentally called John. That happens to me all the time.
It also requires you to open the phone app, correct? For instance, if you're texting, you're in the text app. Is that right?
Actually, I'm not. I'd have to sit and look at it.
Well, how often make phone calls?
Every day. Every day.
Every day?
Yeah.
Hundreds of times a day, right?
Not hundreds.
Dozens of times a day.
Yeah.
You have to open the phone app to make a phone call. You can't call somebody from the texting app, right? Is that right?
I'm not sure. I don't know what to tell you.
There's a list of apps at the bottom of the phone.
Yes.
Messages.
Mm-hmm.
Phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that yes?
Yes, and maybe I accidentally hit the last thing, the last call, like since I had talked to John.
Your Honor, at this point, I would ask the court to instruct the witness to answer my question.
I believe she is. Go ahead and finish.
Your Honor, let me approach.
Okay.
Ms. McCabe.
I'm sorry.
Jumping the gun.
So let me, Ms. McCabe, answer only the question that's being asked of you, okay?
Ms. McCabe, you're aware that when you're in the messaging app, you have to do something else volitionally to open the phone app, correct?
Correct.
You have to touch the phone, is that right?
Yes.
That would open a separate app, correct?
Correct.
Then, once that phone app is open, then you have to choose a person to call, correct?
Yes, sometimes the last dialed.
Right.
Yeah.
And if that happens to be the last dialed, mm-hmm. scroll through, pick a person, make one tap, and that calls the person and initiates the call, correct?
That is one way, yes.
But if you get out of the app, I'm sorry, if you close your phone, hit the lock button after a text message, none of that can happen without you having to open the phone and engage the phone additionally, correct?
If you hit the button to lock it, yes.
Right. So you indicated that these are all missed calls. Is that right?
That's what the records show, yes.
In addition to a missed call, you've had missed calls before. You both received a missed call and you've made calls that were missed. Is that right?
Yes.
When you make a call that's missed, generally goes to voicemail, does it not?
It does, yes.
So then you have to do something additional with that call. Push the end button, correct?
Correct.
Otherwise, voicemails just go on forever. Actually, they go on for 4 minutes, right?
I don't know how long voicemails go for.
So if you had missed calls, 7 missed calls, that's at least 14 interactions, double it, because you got to make the call, then you got to end the call. 14 interactions with your phone for a single missed call. For 7 missed calls.
It could be, yes.
And your testimony is you don't remember making a single one of those calls to John O'Keefe between 12:29 and 12:50, correct?
I do not remember making those calls, no.
As you sit here, do you deny
making those calls between 1229 and 1250 to John O'Keefe.
Oh, I'm not denying that, no.
I'd like to ask you a few questions about January 29th, a little further on in the morning after you got home from 34 Fairview. Approximately what time did you get home?
I'm not sure, maybe around 11:30, 12, I'm not sure.
11:30 or 12?
It could be 11. Are you talking about, I'm confused, are you talking about?
Yeah, let me rephrase the question.
Okay, sorry.
On the night of the early morning hours of January 29th, 2022, when you left
here. Oh, I'm sorry.
What
okay.
time did you get home
today? I was after 2, I believe. I'm not positive.
You went upstairs, is that right?
Yes.
You began to engage with your phone at
yes.
that time. What application did you open up on your phone once you got upstairs?
It could have been Hockamuck Sports.
I'm sorry, I'm backing up foundationally. What
okay.
application on the phone? Was it Safari?
Oh, okay, yes. I think, yes.
You use Safari as your browser?
I'm not sure what I used.
You opened up a search engine as well within that browser, did you not?
I just know I Googled Hockamuck Sports, I believe. I'm not sure what app I opened or how I went about it.
So Google is a search engine. You use
okay.
Google.
Possibly. I mean, that's just an expression, but I'm not, if you could show my record, I'm not sure what app I opened.
Well,
or
Ms.
What.
McCabe, you've seen this record many, many times about that search early in the morning hours, correct? You know that it was a Google search.
It was Google. Okay, it was a okay. Google search.
Okay. So it was a Google search using the Safari app.
Okay.
You indicated that you were Google searching Hockamuck Sports and something about Ozone?
Yes.
Ozone Sports or Ozone Basketball?
Yes.
What time was it that you did that Google search?
It was when I was home up in bed. I don't have an exact time.
About 2:27 a.m., correct?
I'd have to look at a record. I don't recall
you
off the top of my head.
You certainly recall that time frame, don't you?
I know I was home and I Googled that, but I don't remember the exact time.
You do recognize 2:27 a.m.?
I do recognize it, but it's not from me remembering it from that night specifically. It's from me learning afterwards.
And what you learned afterwards was there was a Google search at 2:27 a.m., right? I mean, that's a layup, to use a basketball term, right?
There's a record, I think, of one.
Right. The record is of a Google search at 2:27 a.m. on your phone. Is that right?
I'm not a phone expert, so I don't know. I can't read.
You're well aware. You don't have to be a phone expert to know that there was a Google search on your phone recovered at 2:27 in the morning. You know that. You've been told that. You've seen it. You've been asked about it dozens of times, haven't you?
I have been asked about it dozens of times, yes.
So let's set the foundation. There was a Google search on your phone at 2:27 a.m., correct?
Which Google search are you referring to?
It doesn't matter, Ms. McCabe.
Well, I know I did Ozone and I did Hockamuck Sports.
And I didn't ask you that.
And those were the only two things that I Googled.
I didn't ask you what you Googled. I haven't gotten there yet. We're going to get there. I've asked you, was there a Google search at 2:27 a.m. on your phone?
If you want to show me a report.
Sure.
Okay.
You don't remember, as you sit here, you don't remember that.
I don't.
You have no record, you have nothing in your mind about a Google search at 2:27 a.m. That's what you're testifying to in front of this jury right now.
Are you asking me if I made a Google search at 2:27?
Yes.
I don't know what time I was searching for Hockamuck Sports and Ozone. I have no idea what time that was.
You're well aware that your records have been pulled, correct?
Yes, they have.
You've been confronted with those records many times, haven't you?
I've been asked by you, yes.
And by others, right?
Yes.
I mean, the police have asked you about it. You've been interviewed about it.
I've been asked by you.
And Mr. Lally?
Yeah, Mr. Lally asked about it, yes.
And every time you're asked, it's about a Google search at 2:27 a.m. That's all I'm asking.
It is, but it's not one that I remember doing or making or did. It's not one I did. It's just one that is in a record that was misread.
Are you denying that you made a Google search at 2:27 a.m.?
If you could show me this Google search, I'd appreciate it.
May I have a moment, John?
Yes.
Your Honor, I need a quick minute to find the record that I did not make over here. Can we take a brief recess? 5 minutes.
I'll see counsel at sidebar. Well, if Ms. Little wants to keep looking, we'll come to sidebar.
We're trying not to have you take a recess, so the lawyers are just going to get something done fairly quickly so that we can continue up until the luncheon recess.
Your Honor, may I?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. McCabe, I don't have a paper copy, but I'm going to ask you to take a look at something that we display on the screen.
Okay.
And ask you a couple of questions about that. Can you zoom in?
I object to the way it's presented here.
Okay, take it down. That's not how it appears. You need to get rid of the column. Right?
That's exactly how it appears, Your Honor. That's the
House
record.
Counsel at sidebar. Go ahead.
Thank you. Found the paper. Thank you for your patience, Your Honor, and Ms. McCabe, may I approach?
Yes.
Thank you.
May I approach?
Yes.
You indicated you wanted to see a record, Ms. McCabe. Did you see a record that indicated a Google search? Not what the contents of the Google search is, but there was a Google search.
I just saw a Cellebrite record, yes.
And did you see the time of the Google search?
On that record, yes.
Is it 2:27 a.m., correct?
Yes.
Ultimately, you will agree that there was a Google search done, and now I'm going to ask about the content of "How Long to Die in Cold," correct?
That was done in the morning at the request of Ms. Reed.
Ms. McCabe, I didn't ask you that. I asked you a yes or no question. Did you understand my question?
Could you repeat it, please?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Did that record indicate that there was a search at some point done, at some point, for How Long to Die in Cold?
I object to recovering the record. I'll look.
Yeah. So was there a search on that at some point?
On that paper, was there a search that said that? Is that the question?
Let's start with that.
Yes. Yeah, there was.
Okay. Now let me ask you a different question. You Google searched the phrase, "How Long to Die in Cold." Yes or no?
Yes.
On January 29th, correct?
Yes.
So you agree that you were on Google, correct?
Yes.
You agree that there was a search done at 2:27 a.m., correct?
I don't recall doing a search at 2:27. The paper says it. I don't.
Okay. And you also agree that at some point that morning, you plugged into that phone, "How Long to Die in Cold." Is that right?
Yes, after we found John O'Keefe.
Now, you claim that was at 6:23 and at 6:24 in the morning, two iterations of "How Long to Die in the Cold." How Long to Die in Cold, how long T-I die in C-I-K-D, correct?
I'm not claiming it. It's the truth is what happened.
You're testifying to that?
Yes, I am.
You also testified that at the time you Google searched those phrases, It was Karen Reed screaming and yelling at you, shaking you, to Google hypothermia, correct?
She was pulling on my sleeve, yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. You have discussed this Google search and the issue of the hypothermia with Carrie Roberts, correct?
I told her in the days following.
You discussed it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You discussed it in the days following January 29th, correct?
Yes.
You discussed it before her testimony at the grand jury, correct?
We discussed it after. We don't talk about what we're going to say before testifying or anything like that.
So in the 3 months between this incident and the testimony by both you and Ms. Roberts, you two did not discuss this hypothermia issue?
It wasn't an issue. It was just something she said, but we don't discuss it every day. There's no need to.
I didn't ask you if you discussed it every day. I asked you if you ever discussed it.
Originally, yes, we did discuss it in the first days following all of this.
And that would have been before either one of you testified at the grand jury, correct?
Yes.
And we know that you were with her just before her testimony at the grand jury, is that right?
Yes.
And you're certainly aware that at the grand jury, that in prior testimony, Carrie Roberts corroborated your statement that Karen Reed demanded to Google hypothermia.
Objection.
Ask it differently, Mr. Jackson.
Are you aware that Carrie Roberts, well, let me ask it a different way. Have you and Carrie Roberts ever discussed the fact that she corroborated your statement that Karen Reed demanded that you Google hypothermia?
No.
She ever told you that?
No.
Did you ever ask her that?
No.
Did you discuss your statement that Karen Reed was the one that demanded that search?
Karen Reed did ask me to do the search, yes.
Okay, that's not what I asked you. Did you and Carrie Roberts discuss that?
Yes, we've talked about that.
Are you aware that last week, Carrie Roberts denied hearing that statement?
Objection.
Sustained.
Have you been told, have you been updated that last week, Carrie Roberts denied ever having heard that statement?
Yes.
Sustained.
May we approach?
Yes. All right, jurors, feel free to stand up and stretch. So, just one question on this. Just one question on this, please, Mr. Jones.
Have you become aware from any source that last week Carrie Roberts denied having heard the statement that was attributable to my client?
No.
Did you hear that?
No.
You've reviewed the video from the dash cam out at the scene, correct?
I've seen it, yes.
You're aware that there is no video showing my client demanding a Google search anywhere in this case, correct?
I'm not sure what cameras were where.
You're aware that there's no audio of my client demanding a Google search, correct?
Correct.
You're unaware of any witness who can corroborate your statement that my client demanded a Google search? Any witness at all?
Well, it was just the two of us. She had sent Carrie off.
So, of course, Carrie Roberts is not such corroborating witness. Is that right? At least you understand that.
Can you rephrase the question, please?
Carrie Roberts is not a corroborating witness for you. You understand that? You just said that.
Yes, Carrie, I don't believe heard it. She was sent off.
So it's your word and your word only, Ms. McCabe, that my client demanded a Google search. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ms. McCabe, you were with Carrie Roberts just before her grand jury testimony. Is that right?
Yes.
You had been with her to create a timeline of a version of events that occurred, correct?
I wouldn't say a version of events. We each put down what we remembered.
She saw what you put down, you saw what she put down.
Yes.
and you compared and contrasted those with each other to create that timeline, correct?
No, we didn't compare and contrast. I said she called me, she said this, then Carrie, and someone was writing it down for us.
That would be your sister?
Who?
It was my sister, yes.
Which sister?
My sister Denise.
What's your last name?
Galvin.
Is she here?
She is here, yes.
Where is she?
She's sitting over there.
Can you point to her and describe what she's wearing?
Sure, she's over there in the back with the striped shirt on.
Between the gentleman in the purple and the gentleman in the black?
Yes.
So she witnessed this timeline being prepared, correct?
She wrote the timeline, yes.
And then you've spoken to Ms. Roberts several times about this case.
Yes.
And about your perceptions of this case, correct?
We talk about what happened and the aftermath of this case. We don't talk about the specific details as much as we talk about the aftermath of everything.
Ms. McCabe, the fact is you instructed Carrie Roberts to say that she heard that Google hypothermia statement from my client before she testified at the grand jury, didn't you?
No, absolutely not. I never instructed her to do anything.
You wanted some witness to back up your story about this Google search, correct?
No, absolutely not. I don't
need... Ms. McCabe...
It was said. Karen said it. It's that simple.
So you're the only person saying that, though?
Yes, and I stand by that 110%.
And the reason that you wanted another witness to back up that statement is because you knew that that Google search for "How Long to Die in Cold" points a very uncomfortable finger right toward you, correct?
I never did that search at 2:27. I never needed to instruct somebody. I'm sorry.
There's that apology again. Has someone told you that you need to apologize when there's an uncomfortable question that you don't want to answer?
No.
Have you discussed this with anybody?
No, and that's not an uncomfortable question. I'm fine to answer it.
How many times did you say, "I apologize" yesterday in cross-examination?
I didn't count.
Probably more than 15, right?
I have no idea. I'm just trying to answer the questions and be truthful as I can.
And you're aware that Cellebrite, the Cellebrite extraction that was done on your phone, determined that of the three searches, 2:27 a.m., 6:23 a.m., 6:24 a.m., only one of them was recorded as deleted, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Have you ever been confronted with having deleted a Google search off your phone? You ever been asked that?
Yes, by you.
Do you deny that you deleted a Google search off your phone?
I never deleted a Google search off my phone.
So you deny?
I never did that. I deny it, yes.
That you ever deleted a Google search?
Yes. I never made the search.
I'd like to move back to the time of about 6:03 in the morning, Ms. McCabe, when you, along with Carrie Roberts and Ms. Reed, approached 34 Fairview. This is Exhibit 4. It's been previously entered into evidence, and I think you've seen part of this exhibit. Do you recall, before we get to the exhibit, do you recall my client when the first officer on scene, do you know his name, by the way?
I believe it was Officer Sarif.
When Officer Sarif approached, he asked the question, "What happened?" Something like that. Open-ended question. Do you remember that?
I don't remember what he specifically said.
Do you remember my client a few seconds later saying, "My boyfriend, I left him, he never came home"?
I don't remember the specifics of what was said.
Your Honor, if we could, I would ask that we queue up Exhibit 4 for the jurors at runtime 4:20.
Okay.
Before we play this, I'm going to play just a second of it and ask if you can hear the volume.
Okay.
We could, Mr. Wolf. Could you hear anything?
Oh, I can hear, yes, sorry.
Okay. I don't know how loud it's going to be, quite frankly.
Okay.
Ms. McCabe, will you please pay attention to the audio portion of this video as this is played? Could you hear that?
I heard something.
Could you hear my client? Did it sound like Ms. Reed?
It sounded like a female.
Did it sound like Ms. Reed, a female?
I'm not sure I could. Could I listen to it again?
With the court permission, one more time?
One more time.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.